Speaking God's word releases faith for an abundant harvest. Join Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as they teach us how to call in our harvest and receive it by faith. Here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Pastor George Pearsons is back with us today on more good news about your finances and my finances and his finances.
That's right. That's right. Gloria, it's been so good to be on these broadcasts with you.
Oh, I've enjoyed it,
George. Enjoyed being here. And we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks how to reap your harvest. And it came from a word that Gloria gave during our board meeting. We need to get aggressive.
That's right.
We must get aggressive about reaping our harvest. A good harvester does not leave anything out in the field.
That's right.
Again, I refer to Pop and his peaches.
Pop. My granddad.
Granddad. And when Pop would harvest peaches, he wouldn't leave any out there, would he? Would he leave any peach on the...
Not unless they were rotten.
Oh. Well, there you go. Well, we're the same way.
He'd have people come in truckloads, and they'd go pick all those peaches. And boy, were they good peaches.
Oh,
tree ripe peaches, my word.
You sit here making me hungry.
Me too.
So, anyway, Pop would not leave any peaches on the trees. Well, we don't leave any harvest in the field.
No.
God wants us to harvest it all. And in the last 2 days of these broadcasts that we're doing this week, we're going to be talking about now the specifics about how to reap your harvest.
Hallelujah.
How to reap your harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at here, Gloria, Mark chapter 4.
Okay.
If you want to turn over there with me,
we can do this together.
Mark chapter 4, and we're talking about how to actually reap that harvest.
You mean this one?
You got that one filled up.
You ought to have the camera take a check on this
page
right here.
Look at that. I think that's great. We ought to do a Bible series of yours, like a special Gloria Copeland.
I just wish I could read all of it. I can read most of it.
Most of it. Well, we're talking about how do we do this. And if you look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So that is a description there of an actual harvesting that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to... And part of this outline, Gloria, comes from a teaching that Jerry Savelle did called Call in Your Harvest. This one today and also tomorrow, I got some information from him. And you can go to Jerry Savelle's website and order that series of his. It's excellent. Call in Your Harvest. And I just so enjoy, I enjoy studying after different preachers about the revelation that they get from a particular study. And so one of the things that Jerry Savelle talked about in this scripture, he said, immediately he puts in the sickle. And Jerry camped on that word sickle.
Show me where you are.
For just a moment. I'm over, let's see, right there.
Okay.
And so Jerry started talking about a sickle. And he said, what is a sickle? And a sickle, I remember when I was growing up, and this would be in the...
It's not a popsicle, George. It's
not a popsicle.
Okay.
But when I was growing... you're making me hungry again. When I was growing up, and this would have been the late 50s, early 60s, my grandfather had a sickle.
Ooh.
And we had...
this kind?
He had about 15... Yeah. He had about 15 acres of land. And I remember him going out, and sometimes when the grass would grow too tall... and you couldn't get a lawnmower through it. I mean, it was pretty thick. He would come out and he would take the sickle. And I remember it had a handle down here and a handle up here. And it was shaped like this. And he would take that sickle and he would start mowing down that grass. And he kept that sickle pretty sharp, the edge of it. I don't know if you remember, Pop. I don't know if your grandfather used anything like that or...
He probably did, but I don't remember it.
But that sickle, I remember that.
He never made me use it.
He never let you use it. Well, my grandfather didn't let me use mine either. But But Jerry said this, a sickle is a sharp instrument used for cutting crops during harvest.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting here how we begin to put this together.
Like a wheat field.
Like a wheat field or something like that. And you've seen pictures of people like that harvesting with the sickle. Well, Jerry said, our sickle is the word of God coming out of our mouths.
That's exactly right.
This is a sickle. The words that come out of our mouth. This is a sickle.
That's our harvest.
That's exactly right. And Hebrews 4:12 in the New Living, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. And this in Isaiah 49:2, it says, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword.
Boy, is that right. That is good, isn't it? That tells you what happens.
That's exactly what happens.
What it takes.
And in the spirit, when you begin to call in your harvest, the words of your mouths, which we use our words of faith, we release faith with our words. That's what we do. Our words are so important.
Yeah.
Even, you know, talking about the words and how important they are, I was talking to one of the folks before we came back here on the set together, and he looked at me, he says, you need to remember something. He said, what you have today is a result of what you said yesterday.
That's right.
And I stood there and I said, that's harvest. That's harvest. So our words, the word of God is powerful.
Yes.
It's powerful. And the words that we speak in faith out of our mouths, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So that harvest is reaped with the words of our mouths.
So our words dictate our tomorrow. The words we speak today.
The words we speak today dictate
what we have tomorrow.
Or you could say it this way, the words that we speak today dictate tomorrow's harvest.
That's right. That's a good way to say
Because when you're speaking, you're sowing. Yeah. The sower sows.
Now, I need to write that down. When you're speaking, do you have that written down
No,
here?
I don't, but I'm
That's
sure
good.
It's... We've got it over here.
When you're speaking...
When you're speaking...
You're what did I say?
What did she say? You're sowing. When you're speaking, you're sowing.
That's exactly right.
Okay. When you're speaking, you're sowing.
Yeah. You know, we had to get a grip on what we said in order to prosper like we wanted to.
You really
did. We started out without anything. If we'd have kept saying, we don't have anything, we're never going to get anything, we would be destitute today.
That's right.
If you want to be destitute, that's the way to do it.
You had to change your words.
Yeah.
And the revelation of the fact that our words are seeds. The sower sows the word.
That's right.
So our words,
the
word of God is seed. And we harvest those seeds with the same instrument that we sow with because our words are powerful and active. Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
That's right.
And you can have the fruit thereof. You can reap the fruit thereof of the things that you speak.
Now, Pete, somebody might be listening and think, well, how can you ever say the right words and not say the wrong words? You can.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it bad, if you want the blessing bad enough, if you want healing bad enough, if you want prosperity
enough,
that's right. If you want peace in your family and your children bad enough, you can say the right words.
That's it.
Based on the Word of God.
Yep. Well, you all did the same thing. You were married in 1962.
Yeah.
And later that year, you were born again. But it took a time of renewing your minds. And really, a few years until you heard Brother Hagin speak and teach on, you can have what you say. And that was a revelation to you, wasn't it?
We learned faith from him.
Yeah.
Learned how to.
And that was to know that your words have that much effect. Well, our words not only have an effect on what we sow in our lives, but they also affect what we reap.
That's right.
The things that we reap. If you're going to continually say, the kids always get sick by the time we get to vacation, then you're sowing those seeds towards that harvest. And that's a harvest that eventually people are going to reap. They don't connect the dots, Gloria. They don't connect the dots between...
Well, it doesn't happen always instantly. Sometimes it does.
Right. Sometimes
it
does.
You know, we were in that car wreck way, way back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And a car pulled out in front of us. John was little. He was on a pillow in the front seat. Kelly was little. And if I'm not mistaken, we had said just... You know, in the last hour or two, something happened to the car. And we said, this car is coming all to pieces.
Oh, Gloria.
I don't remember exact details. I think I'm telling it right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, we hit a car hit us, and it came all to pieces. And it was just the grace of God that the children lived. We lived through it.
Oh, my goodness.
Kelly was little. John was little. John was on a pillow in the between seats. It's before car seats. You know, that was way, way back in the dark ages.
Yeah. Well, that was 1966.
But those kind of things, they work bad.
They
work bad or they work good.
Well, what you did, and here's...
So you have to be careful.
You said that this car is, what'd you say, coming to pieces?
Coming all to pieces.
Coming all to pieces.
Something on the car happened.
It's coming all to pieces. And that was a seed that was sown. And the harvest was the accident.
Yeah.
That was the result of it.
That's right.
And it was the grace of God. It was the mercy of God
mercy,
that you were not
mercy.
You were not destroyed in that.
We were just starting, so we weren't responsible for a whole lot of revelation, which was good.
I was thinking about something the other day. I was reading an article about John F. Kennedy, and he would say during his presidency, he would talk about being shot. He would say, and there was an actual quote from him in this article it said that he's talking about the open covered limousine.
Yeah.
And he said, he kept saying it over and over again. He said that would be a clear shot.
He probably had a witness about it.
You're right.
And ignored it.
And ignored it.
Because that's not what presidents do. They do this way.
Yeah. And he ignored...
I never heard that.
He ignored that. And he said it a number of times. And then he also alluded to that about coming to Dallas. See, there's a connection. That was a harvest of words that were sown. So that's... It really is a strong warning to each one of us that our lives are really... directed by the words that we speak.
That's
this is a word-operated system that we're living in.
And to me, I see it like our words give Satan permission or our words give God permission.
That's right.
We speak positive words of faith, we open the door for the blessing.
Yep.
We speak unbelief and bad things and fear things.
Yes.
And we open the door to the devil.
So, our mouths are the instrument with which the words that we speak, the seeds come out of our mouths for the destiny of our lives. And our mouths are also, we keep feeding that and feeding it and feeding it and feeding it until such time as that harvest begins it shows.
And we've walked it out. I mean, we you know, we were negative just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we speak things that we didn't want to come to pass because we didn't know any better. So it was like, devil, come on, have a heyday here.
Right.
But when we begin to find out in Mark 11 that you can have what you say, we did a really fast,
you
abrupt
did turn,
change
you,
in the
you
words
did.
That we said.
Yep.
But we didn't know that until then, until we heard Brother Hagin preach it.
When you just said that about Mark 11:23, the power of our words, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's harvest.
Now you think about
that's
it. Somebody that doesn't know the word, they're in unbelief, so things are not going to be going well with them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not doing what it takes to come out and be blessed. So they're going to say what they have, which is what we did till we learned better.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say what you have, and you just get more of it. But when you find out your words have power, like Mark 11 says, that's your words, they have power, you say them in faith, and it manifests.
That's right.
You change.
The words that we speak become the combines with which we reap the harvest of what we're believing for. And there's a scripture in point B of your outline there that I wanted to show you. Isaiah 41:15, it says, "Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge." Now, the King James says instrument with sharp teeth. "You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make them the hills like chaff." Yeah. I looked up, Gloria, the word teeth in the Hebrew, and it is the word mouths.
Where is it? Which mouth. One now?
That's point two
teeth.
There.
Oh, teeth.
Yeah,
okay,
teeth.
It's mouth.
So it's talking, yeah,
sharp
it
mouth?
Means mouths. So you should, "Behold, I'll make you a new threshing instrument with sharp teeth," or you could say mouths.
Wow.
Our mouths and the words that we speak are the instruments with which we harvest the reap the harvest that is out there. We call in the harvest.
And what's interesting, one of the things interesting about that is, unless you learn better and you learn, if I want good things to come to pass, I have to talk good things.
That's right.
And not bad things. Unless you have come to a place in the Word or somebody's taught you that you can have what you say, which is what Brother Hagin taught us.
Yeah.
People talk negative. It's just, why? Because this is the world is negative. It's a negative stream that runs through everything.
Exactly.
Until it's changed by the Word of God.
Exactly.
Into something positive, into the blessing.
You start saying things like, "Well, that'll never work out," or "That'll never happen," or "We'll never get it."
They'll never make it.
They'll never
make it.
We'll
never make it.
You're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Those are seeds that lodge down into that soil, and it works on the positive side.
That's right.
It works on the negative side.
That's right.
And we have to take control of that and operate on the positive side. Sow good seeds into the ground.
That's right. What you want to come to pass.
What you want, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's like the farmer. My grandfather did this. I was always impressed with this. He was a farmer, or he had a garden, and he would have these different tomato plants or cucumber or different things that he would grow. But he would take the bag with the seeds. He'd take the bag, put it on a stick, and stick it in the ground right along the area where he was growing, like the tomatoes or whatever it is. And it would be the seed bag with the tomato picture on it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what he was expecting.
He planted tomato seeds.
The tomatoes.
Now, here's where the tomatoes are. That's what he was showing.
He was
you.
Identifying the spot with the sign.
Yeah.
And we people don't realize, and I did years ago, this was probably 1976, the first year that I worked here. I was working on the magazine. I came in as the first in-house artist.
I remember, George.
And I was working on the magazine, and I did a little cartoon because in the magazine,
you were the only Yankee on staff.
I was the only one. But you know, I have changed the way I speak.
You've adapted very well.
I have adapted very well.
I'm proud of you.
I can say "fixin'" and "y'all."
Y'all.
And it just rolls out without me thinking about it.
That's
but
right.
I drew a cartoon in the magazine. And it was alongside of an article that Kenneth wrote about the power of your words. And on this cartoon, I had a farmer on one side and then the same scene on the other side. And on one side, I had this farmer and he had the rows where he was planting seed and he had the little signs. And the signs said tomatoes, cucumbers, and so forth. On the other side of the frame, it was the same farmer. He's sowing seeds, but it had healing, prosperity.
Good.
Deliverance, freedom from fear.
I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Trying to get across the point that the words that we speak are seeds and we harvest with the same instrument with which we sow the seed.
That's right.
So to reap the harvest then, our words of faith cut down the crops and bring in the harvest.
Amen.
So if you look at your third page, let's take a look at this. You have to command your harvest to come to you. And that's Romans 4:17.
Yeah.
And I'll turn to it here really quickly. Romans 4:17 talks about, okay, it says here in Romans 4:17, talking about Abraham, he says, "As it is written, I've made thee the father of many nations, like him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were." calls those things, we call those things which be not as though they were. And I looked up the word call in the Greek.
What does it mean?
It means to summons.
Oh, I like that.
It means to summons, and it means to command to appear.
Yeah.
To command to appear.
command to appear those things. Well,
exactly.
Now we know to do that.
Now we know to do
that. We do it on purpose.
Yep.
We command the money to come. We command the healing to come. Command those things which be not as though they were.
That's
which
it.
We should say which we see not as though they were.
We see not as though they were. Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's what we do.
So how do we do this? We command our harvest, or we call those things that be not as though they were. We summons our harvest, or if you will, you go out into the field, and with the words of your mouth, you harvest that and you bring it in.
Yeah.
And every day, Gloria, where Terry and I are concerned personally, where the staff is concerned, and even where this ministry is concerned, I call in the harvest.
That's right.
People might think that's the strangest thing in the world to do, but that's the way it works.
Well, let's think about it. Now, the word is the seed. And when you say the word, when you say something that the word's going to manifest in your life, you're planting. And then you're reaping. You're calling it in. You've planted it, and then you call it in.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it works.
That's the way it
works. We plant and we reap.
That's it.
We sow and we reap. We sow and we reap. Now, if we don't know better, natural people don't do that by nature.
Right.
I mean, we had to learn it from the Word and change our words to agree with what God said. We didn't know that by nature. We were negative like other people were.
Yes.
That's just
yes.
the way you are. You just are negative without the power of God and the light of God's Word. But when we saw the Word, we changed what we said. We commanded the money to come.
You sure did.
We got ready to build a house. We commanded the money to come.
Yep.
And it didn't come in 4 days, but it came. Maybe, I don't remember now how much, but it didn't take all that long.
Sure.
So that's a key. I like what you've given here. You call those things which be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call them, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, we believe we received it and we have it.
That's right.
And you've got call is summons, command to appear.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Command your harvest
command
to come.
Command our harvest to come.
Now, we talk to the harvest on our sowing and we command.
Yes, ma'am.
You come. Harvest,
you come.
In the name of Jesus. We believe we receive our harvest. Send out the harvesting angels.
Harvesting angels are there
Glory
for us.
Glory to God.
And they bring in the harvest.
They're telling us we're out of time. How
I know
be?
It. I could feel him back there going that way. So
we'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.